Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live.
Live
on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
Hey guys, welcome. What's up, Elle? How are you?
Good, how are you guys?
I'm good. How are you, Allie?
Good. A little chilly in Iowa.
Yeah, it's cold over here in St. Louis. Elle, you're in Kansas City, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, well, we live in Greenwood, Grant and I do, but pretty much Kansas City.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming out here. It's like our first show back. We had a Thanksgiving break. We're gone for like 2 weeks. I'm fighting with my cat at the moment. Bear with me. I've been wanting to get you just the other week or two to try and get you on because I watched you. I've known about you for quite a while. I'm in the St. Louis community. Everyone knows you out here. I've been a big fan. I think I've watched you always since you fought Byers back in the day. And then you just had your first pro fight. And I was watching that sucker, and you won, which is awesome. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to, and then that fight, your pro debut.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm up in Kansas City now. So I've been up at Glory under James Krause for about a little over 2.5 years, getting close to 3 years now. So we were having a lot of trouble finding me fights. The plan was actually not to go pro in October. We were trying to get one more amateur fight. As I was coming off a loss, I took a really short notice fight up a weight class against an undefeated gal down in Florida. And that was right when the pandemic originally hit. So we were like the last MMA, actually, honestly, the last sporting event in the country before everything shut down, which was really crazy. So yeah, we fought in an empty room. Which was super wild. And then we, sorry, my phone, my computer's dinging at you. We fought in an empty room, which was crazy. And then I took that loss. And then we decided I needed to stay at Adam Weight, stay at 105. And we were trying to get one more amateur win under our belt before going pro, but we just couldn't find any fights. So the right matchup showed up. We were able to get a fight. It had been probably almost six, seven months since I'd fought. So it was nice to get back in there.
And yeah, so you're in a very difficult weight class to try and find opponents for.
Yeah, it's pretty scarce, especially for amateurs. At the pro level, I think it's actually quite a bit easier with Invicta, 1FC. There's a lot more options. I know Bellator's even had a few Adam Weight fights on their cards. But it's, yeah, there's not a lot of tiny women out there.
How about training partners?
Amanda Byers, you mentioned her earlier. So she is at Glory. I was actually not at Glory when we fought. So we're now training partners.
That's cool.
Which is really awesome. She's great. She actually lives a ways away, though. She lives like an hour away from Glory. So she's only there part-time. But she's technically my only training partner, like female Adam Weight training partner at the gym. We have a strawweight gal. And then Gina Mazzani's there. She's fantastic. She's obviously she's a little bit bigger than me as well, but she's really great to have in the gym. I've got another tiny guy that's he fights at 125. He's pretty close to my size, but still a little bit bigger. So yeah, there's not a lot of training partners either.
Yeah, there's a lot of tiny people on St. Louis. You can come out here.
Great. Let's do it.
I can't fight Adam Weight, but yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that you were training now with Amanda Byers. I always watched her. I was always impressed with her technique too, right from the get-go. I think she's always been a really good technical fighter, you know, just
Yeah.
From the beginning. Some people have the natural stuff. So that's really cool. Was that a little different finding out to be your training partner, or has that helped you, or?
It's been really great. I love when she's in the gym. Like I said, she's not there as often, but I love having her in there. It's really nice having rounds that feel realistic too, because between like the guys and the bigger gals, you're either getting your ass kicked or it's just not a realistic round. Like, they're letting you work. So it's really nice to actually get a feel for what a smaller woman would do. Like, atom weights, they move quicker, they're more flexible, the scrambles are different. So it's really nice getting to feel that in the gym.
Nice. So what'd you think about your pro debuting with, you said, an empty room? What was that like?
Oh, that my first that was my last amateur fight.
You didn't have a crowd though for your pro fight, right? Aside from the people that are sitting there.
Yes, yeah, so they actually allowed fans at FAC. They just did like social distancing, so it was nice. It felt like there was a full crowd there, which was great. The empty room was very bizarre.
Does it feel like you're like taking a test when you do an empty room?
It was so weird. Like, you don't get that same like hype feeling. Like, there's the walkout was weird. There wasn't like. Being in the cage felt weird. The lights were on. It was super strange.
I know I've heard mixed reviews on that. Some fighters said they felt it was a little more easier to fight without a crowd, that they could stay calm better, that they could think clearer.
I feel like maybe at the UFC level, I think it'd be kind of nice just because it is so loud. It's probably a big difference. I know Grant really enjoyed being able to hear James so well when he fought in Abu Dhabi a few months back. I really draw on that energy. So it was really strange for me. I really like my walkout and getting to kind of hear the energy in the room is a big deal for me. So that was weird.
So how did your training change from when you now had your amateur fights going on to your pro debut? Is it going to also look different in the future depending on, you know, what your route you're going to take?
Not really. I mean, I've been training as a pro for the last 3 years, like ever since I got to Glory. If you're in that room, you're not training to win amateur fights. You're training to compete at the highest level. Like, James demands a really hard schedule of all of us, really strong work ethic. I mean, we're practicing elbows when I was an amateur. We were practicing knees to the head when I was an amateur. My training schedule was full time for the last few years. So it really isn't. I've always made my work around my fighting. So any part-time jobs I have to pay bills are always secondary to what I'm doing in the training room. So there really hasn't been much change.
Were you excited to do the pro though and start going to elbows or knees? That's the one thing I think I would think about, like being able to finally throw those, or is that something you're like, oh, like I, cause you won the rear naked choke on your pro debut, right?
Yep. Yeah. I love elbows and knees to the head in the gym. And I was so, so excited to get to do that. And I threw zero. I threw a knee to the head from she was super far away. She was kind of playing that like on the outside patty cake game where I'm not going to hit you, but you can't hit me either type thing. So there was just no clench work. And I was kind of bummed about that, but I mean, I did what I had to do to get that win. I was planning on striking a lot more. I was hoping to be able to show more of that. I think people see me as really grappling heavy, but I do have really good striking that I never get to use. So
I can relate to what she was talking about. Like, I understand, like, from their perspective, like, that's a smart way to go about it. They're not going to waste a lot of energy. They're just going to stay on the outside. Like, I don't want to feel like I'm chasing my opponent around to try and get to them.
Absolutely. And I think it was a really smart game plan fighting me, because she knew I was going to shoot her. Like, my plan was to shoot early because I knew that she couldn't hang with me on the ground. And that's a really smart way to fight me. I pressure hard. I come forward. In the past, I haven't been as patient, so I've run into things. I think that I've changed a lot of that in my game, but I do think it was a smart way to fight me, to move laterally and avoid me shooting.
And so is that something that you aim to do? Like, so you got your groundwork on this first pro debate. Are you trying to show that you can stand up the next fight, or is it something that you always want to go the distance? Is that, or is it something you want to finish them? You want to be the finisher? What kind of, you have a reputation you can start building right now, and I already know you as an amateur. I'm wondering what kind of show you're trying to put on too for your fans out there. What do you want to be known as?
I definitely want to be known as a finisher. I think that's rare in my weight class, even at the top of the sport. Yeah. Like, there's very few atom weights with a lot of finishes, and I think I can be that girl. You just don't see a lot of danger factor. Like, there's really good girls that aren't dangerous. There's really good girls that don't have submission danger, that don't have knees and elbow danger, that don't have the power to put people out. And my goal is to win. Like, don't get me wrong. That's number one. Like, we're trying to win, and we'll do what we have to do to win. I think it'll depend on what the game plan is. Will depend on the matchup, who we see next.
So I think a lot of people expect, where they, I don't know if they don't expect women to have knockout power, or if it's the atom weight. Even at my weight, I walk, you know, like 140. I fight at 125. You don't expect to see knockouts with those, and you know, people want, I guess, a lot of it, depending on what kind of, you know, MMA fan they are. They want to see the brutality of the fight, and they don't think the little girls can pack the punch, but I think they do. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm looking for girls to be a lot more aggressive. So I love it that, you know, that's how you're getting in there. And, you know, you're ambitious. You want to try different things and be the violent person that, you know, I look for, you know, some girls being. Is that something that you find where, do you feel like you have a knockout power that's what you want to be throwing? Or do people are underestimating you because of your size?
I think I have the power to put people away, especially with knees and kicks. I think that's like everybody has the power to put somebody away when they put their shin on your face. Like,
oh my God.
And I think the main problem with female fighters and finishes overall is fight IQ. I think with the sport being so new for women, I don't think that the fight IQ is there. I don't think we're seeing female athletes make the best choices to get the finish, if that makes sense. I just don't think the sport's evolved to that yet. And I think that's something that my gym, and specifically the females in my gym, have an edge on everybody else, because James has that fight IQ and he started to instill that in all of his younger fighters.
Yeah, you guys are aggressive out there. I love when I've seen you guys, people from Glory fight a few different shows, and I'm always impressed. They always come out aggressive too. They do fight smart. Whatever we have out here, you know, they've always come prepared. And it's like your game plan at Glory is like a step ahead of everyone sometimes when they're watching it. So I'm really impressed with all that. And I see that in you. I see a lot of girls more technical. That's why I get really excited when I see someone kind of go wild in the girl when they're a pro, not an amateur. When they step outside the box or they get a little bit more violent, because I see a lot of girls play technical, they go to the ground. You fought some, I think, more technical people that want to be on the ground the whole time, and then they win their submission. That's why I think a lot of people are used to seeing those girls at that weight go to the ground, do their jujitsu. It's a grappling match, and that's it.
Well,
I'm for the ground and pound, if that's what you're bringing for the atoms.
Absolutely. Girls are too comfortable on their back. Female fighters overall are way too comfortable being in guard. And I don't think that the fight IQ is there where they realize that if you're on your back, 99.9% of the time, you're losing a fight. And that's something like that's changed a ton in my game since I came to Glory. I started at a really jiu-jitsu heavy gym, and pretty much my first 6 months in Kansas City were just Grant screaming at me to get up off my butt. You know, you can't be in guard. You can't be on your back. Like, you see it at the highest level. Nobody's submitting people off their backs. Like, Charles Oliveira has arguably the best jiu-jitsu in MMA, like at the highest level. And he doesn't submit people off his back. He's sweeping people and submitting people from top. So it's just not effective. Outside the guillotine, there's very, very few submissions off your back. in high level MMA. And I think that that's the biggest problem is females are super content holding, trying to just control in the guard. And so many females that are on top do so little damage that that's okay. And you can just have a 3 or 5 round fight just like that, because there's no damage coming from the top and there's no danger coming from the bottom.
Yeah, and even when you see the girls in that position, I'm not sure if they're just not, if it's the weight that has to do with the ground and pound, or the damage blows are going to the body, they're not doing much. You know, I'm excited when I see a girl doing knees, like, damn, like, throw the knee, throw it to the thigh, whatever you got. And they're just so, they are so comfortable on the ground. I think that's because I think they are branching out from MMA or into MMA from being comfortable in jiu-jitsu. And I think that's where a lot of girls are. Yeah, they're finding their stuff. So I'm down for fighters like you that, you know, want to bring a little bit of flavor. And maybe that's the new fighter we're looking at with women and, you know, in the weight class. I think that will pave the way. And you're going to have a lot of hard times finding people fight you if that's the case. The girls don't want to ground and pound. I don't think they do.
They don't. And that's like Valentina, Tatiana Suarez is another great example. Like I think they're exceptions, you know, like I love watching them fight. They have such effective ground and pound, and that's something I'm trying to chase. I've struggled with that in the past where I'm literally trying, because everybody in my gym is trying to get up off the ground. So I'm over there trying to hold people down that aren't even trying to get up when I should be, you know, elbowing them in the face. So it's that's something I'm chasing for sure.
Are you doing anything different for, you know, your next fight camp? Do you have any plans? What's going on with where you're going forward and where you're going to be next?
Not a whole lot. There's a few opportunities possibly coming up on Invicta, FAC in the early parts of the year, like spring next year, that we're looking at right now. Right now, I just got to get healthy. Not a whole lot's going on right now, but I one of my biggest focuses is definitely chasing that ground and pound that we're talking about. I think that's going to be really important moving forward to open up submissions, create danger on the ground, create the scrambles that I need to be able to get to the positions I want. So that's definitely going to be big for me.
This is going to be a little off topic, but kind of on topic. So I was driving one day. You ever get your good ideas when you're driving? And I was thinking about how we've had like 6 reviews on fighters saying what they prefer with knowing who their opponent is, or having a last minute fight and not being able to connect with your opponent and have feelings, you know, that they're another human being and not want to hurt them. I almost kind of like wondered in contrast how people think about their opponent, the level is the same as like people think about a significant other when they first start seeing them, and how like obsessive they get about it. Do you feel like, do you like to know who your opponent is and study them first, or would you like to be spontaneous and not have to focus on them very much?
It depends. I definitely don't have a problem with seeing them as a person and not wanting to hurt them. That's not so much the issue. I think like I have had problems in the past where I've kind of psyched myself out. Like there are fights that I could have won, but that I thought I was supposed to lose as an amateur. And I had like, I got it deep into this with James after one of my losses, where we just discussed this, because there were fights where I went in that I don't think people were necessarily expecting me to do super well, where I did well because I didn't know I was supposed to lose, you know? And so it's one of those things where I think I've psyched myself out before by studying my opponent. And then it's also worked to my advantage. Like I've also fought girls that I watch their fights, and every time I watch their fights, they looked worse and worse in their fights. And every time I watched their fights, I felt better. I was like, oh, this girl can't do anything to me. Like I'm going to smash her. And so I think it works different ways depending on the opponent. I think there's opponents that I probably should research less, and opponents that it would probably make me feel better to research more. James said he's had fights where he doesn't watch any film on his opponent, just on his own fights. And he just studies his own fights so he can, you know, work on his game and make sure he's implementing what he wants to instead of fighting their fight. So I think that all depends.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think you find your capabilities if you're constantly worried about what the other person is going to do. Meaning, like, if you're so worried that, I don't know if I can fight them, like, how are you going to fight them? Is that my computer?
Yeah, you're fading there.
Is it what?
You're fading out there.
Ooh, okay. I hear a lot of stuff on my end. I'm sorry if you guys are dealing with that. So when did you get into MMA though? Elle, tell us about how you began a little bit.
So I never, like, I was never in wrestling or martial arts as a kid. It was kind of a bizarre happening for me. I was actually really involved in like bodybuilding at the time. And I went out to Las Vegas for the Olympia. And we were just kind of hanging out at City Athletics and all over Vegas. And I randomly met Floyd Mayweather Sr., which was super random. I was just hitting a bag for fun, and he held pads for me. And he and his manager kept talking to me, and they were like, hey, why don't you come out? So they flew me out, gave me an opportunity to train up there at the Mayweather Club with them. I stayed with one of their female boxers, Kylie Fulmer. She's a savage. I don't know if you watch a lot of boxing, but she's super good. And I just basically lived her life for a week. I trained on her schedule. We hung out. It was fantastic. And they were just like, hey, yeah, you should do this. And it was just a very bizarre series of events. And I was in Springfield, Missouri at the time. When I came back to Springfield, I found the first, I thought I was going to box, but I found the first gym I could, and it was an MMA gym, and I fell in love with jiu-jitsu and grappling from there.
That's amazing. You were discovered by Floyd Mayweather Sr. I don't know where to go from there. I actually love
it. It's good too, because I feel like some fighters have to shop around for a gym.
Yeah, I kind of did that. I just did it at a very slow rate. Like, I started at one really small gym, and then I slowly went to a bigger gym in the area, and then I realized that Glory is, like, the mecca of the Midwest, and honestly, soon to be the country. Like, there's, like, 15 active UFC fighters doing their camps in Lee Summit, and you don't move to Lee Summit for the nightlife. Like, that's not why people come here. Like, they're here for Glory. So it's, like, I did shop for gyms. It just took me a really long time to find the right one.
Yeah.
I remember there was a time where I was kind of in between gyms. Like, yeah, I'm just going to be kind of rogue, and I'm just going to go to drop in at gyms all the time. Then I realized some gyms don't like that, and they want you to be a member and only go to their gym.
Yeah, that's fair. James is pretty, like, he's pretty set on, like, the schedule. We do have a lot of guys that come in just for their camps. Like, Derek Minner still lives in Nebraska, but he's been doing his camps up here. Sean Woodson is out there in St. Louis, but he comes up here for his camp. So, like, we've got people coming in from all over. James Gallagher from Bellator is in town right now. It's just really cool to see the room growing. I think people are recognizing the level of coaching that we have here. And, like, it's cool to have a team, too. I think a lot of the big gyms don't have a really – great team environment. It's more like, oh, like, I bring in my coaches and my training partners, and I do my training at this time. It's like, we're one of the only gyms of our size with the amount of high level people we have that it's like, we all do practice together in the morning, the evening. We're all a team. Like, everybody's helping each other get better. People are getting in work before, after, in the middle of the day. I think it's rare to see in the size of gym that we have.
That's why I was wondering, like, I feel like it's like kind of like Marvel or some X-Men shit going on out there, like, where it's like the whole team is together, like, assemble. Like, that's pretty cool. Cause I do see a lot of people on different schedules. There's a couple of gyms out here that they're really tight knit, and I really admire that. Each gym, you know, brings a different flavor. So I guess it's whatever you're into. Is it becoming so jam packed out there though? Because Glory is having a lot more popularity, or people are like, oh, I gotta go train with L, or you experience all this kind of crazy stuff now?
It's growing. Like, we're for sure gonna need to expand soon. There's already some plans for some more room, because we, like, our morning classes are getting packed. Because in the morning class, like, our morning training is like, it's all protein, like, it's just the MMA fighters, and even then, it's like, it's a packed room, and it's packed with killers. Like, it's getting crazy.
So you have that, like, 5-foot area you and your opponent have to, like, work with, and don't roll into anybody?
Yeah, pretty much. You gotta, like, stay away from the heavyweights. We've got this giant Russian guy that, you know, you don't want to get rolled over by him.
Like a Russian.
What do you walk at, though?
I'm usually in the 120s, low 120s. Mid-120s.
How does the weight look then? Because you're so tiny, I feel like. But then
I was like, Karen, you can't ask people that.
I'm so interested in, like, what do you eat? Tell me what your protein is.
I feel like we're pretty good most of the time. I definitely don't eat as well as I did before I met Grant. Like, we eat a little more junk now. But I feel like we do pretty well in general. And then when camp kicks in, it's pretty dialed in. I eat 4 or 5 times a day. You know, got my protein, my fats, my carbs, tracking everything pretty regularly. Most of my weight I lose during fight week. I'm still pretty close to 120 beginning of fight week. I think I have a good water cut. I have a good system set up for my sodium and my water cut. I get to be big at 105, which is great. Like, I fought at higher weight classes, and being the smaller fighter is stupid. Like, it sucks. I don't know why anybody does that. It's so, like, I always hate cutting weight. Every time I cut weight, I'm like, I'm never going to do this again. And then I get to weigh-ins, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, you're tiny. This is amazing. And then I'm way bigger than them the next day. So, why? Like, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to cut weight forever.
So another weird question, which Allie might make fun of me for, because I do this sometimes, y'all. What is there something that you specifically eat the day of before your fight? Is there, I eat fight Twinkies. I call them my fight Twinkies. Like, I have specific things I buy and I have to munch on, like sugar. I do that. Do you do anything weird like that?
So I always buy Kix cereal for after weigh-in. That's the first, like, I love Kix. I get a whole box. And I like sit and I'll, like, I'll do my, you know, I'll do my Pedialyte and my water and my Gatorade. And then I usually go to Kix cereal next and I eat like half the box. And then I usually take the other half with me.
So are you like dry eating here or are you using milk?
Yeah, just try just cereal. That and gum, like sour gummy worm. Like, that is my jam. And those usually come with me to the fights too.
So you guys have a whole different thing going on. I always think that I get to treat myself afterwards and I have to still maintain the healthy eating until the fight is over.
So, yeah, for like fatty things, I'm with it. But like dry carbs and like low fat, high glycemic carbs are exactly what you want from a nutrition standpoint after your body's been super depleted. So I'm not saying like I'm eating bags of gummy worms. Like, I'm usually eating like 8 to 10. It's like 40 grams of carbs.
You're cutting yourself off at 8.
I pre-weigh. I like, like a little bag. Take them with me. It's actually like there is science behind my craziness. I swear.
Feel like a granola bar, some pasta, and like a fruit.
Yeah, I love pasta for breakfast.
Same thing. I just get my high glycemic carbs and gummy worms. But I take other stuff too. Like, I'll usually, it kind of depends. I usually eat like something like steak and eggs in the morning. Something like not super fatty, but a little, like protein. A little fat, lots of protein. I'll get some hash browns. I have celiac disease, so I don't do gluten when I'm in fight camp. But after fight camp, I usually have some, which is terrible for me. And people are going to hate that, but I definitely do cheat on that for sure.
So do you have a routine then, or is it more routine? Not even in the food part. Is there things that you have to do? Like, are you superstitious at all?
Not really. I used to be like, oh, I lost when I walked out to that song, so I can't walk out to that song anymore. And then I just kind of realized that's really stupid. And like, stuff's never always going to go your way. Like, there are going to be days you have to fight where you feel like garbage. And there's going to be days you have to compete where they play the wrong song or they announce. And I had this happen. They played the wrong song and announced the other girl's name. And I walked out and I like, it's just, I'm kind of over that. I used to have like a routine. Like, I always got my hair braided at the same time. I watched the same movie. I didn't do anything else. And I kind of got to this place where I would like agonize over everything, and I'd be in the back and I'd like be sitting there with my headphones and I'd just be raging in the corner. And I my first fight after my first knee surgery, I was like eight. I'd been out for like 8 or 9. No, it was longer than that. Like 10 months. It'd been a while since I fought. And it was not good. I was like just so high anxiety, so much like rage. And I had tunnel vision. I couldn't hear anything James and Grant were saying to me. I didn't look good. I didn't do any of what I had planned to do. And I decided to just 180 after that. The next fight, I was like, we're not going to do any of that. I'm going to be super chill. I'm not even going to take headphones with me. I'm going to hang out in the back with my friends. I'm going to chat. We're going to go do stuff during the day. We all ate as like a team in the morning. And it was by far the best performance of my career. Like, I think that just kind of finding why I love fighting in the first place was super important for that. It brought my anxiety way down. I had so much fun. And that's the way I want to fight every time I go in there.
Oh, yeah, question. The afternoon tomorrow. But do you think that women have a disadvantage for weigh-ins if they have their time of the month?
So get a little personal here. I typically don't have a cycle. So this is not something I have necessarily experienced. I've heard that before. I've never had a problem with it. I definitely have had like clinical hormone changes and problems. It's never affected my weight cut personally. I also think that there's a lot of ways to plan for it. I don't see that as a legitimate excuse at that level. I think if you've been cutting weight, and this was her first time as well at that weight class, so I understand the changes in the, I think the change in the weight class is a more legitimate reason than anything else. I think that there's like, especially if you do have a regular cycle as most women do, I think there's a lot of ways to plan for that. And there's like, you can start your cut earlier, depending on obviously if it's your short notice fight or not. It's not something I've ever had a problem with personally.
There was one pro fighter, and I can't remember who it was, but she had said she felt like she fights better when she's on her period because maybe the PMS thing, I don't know.
I don't know.
If anything, I would hate it. I feel like I'm bloated up there and everyone's staring at me.
No, I just think I've been in pain. Like, I would say, if anything, like, you just more like depend on the person, and you guys want to have a female talk show, so you're going to get all the nasty parts of it. So good question. Yes.
It's been pretty mild so far.
If anything, like, the bloated, I don't even worry about. Cause yeah, you could totally plan around that. Like Elle said, I would think if anything, like depending on the pain is what I'd be worried about. But then I have so much adrenaline. I've gone up and, you know, right before a fight or the day before, and I'm like, I just feel like shit, but the adrenaline, I think, just covers everything. And it's just like a mountain.
And I honestly don't know how that would affect a weight cut personally. But I mean,
some medical shit that we don't know about, like way more extreme, but I don't think it's that big, you know.
So did anybody watch the Mike Tyson fight?
Yeah. I didn't. I was watching.
No, and I remember watching interviews that he was giving for getting ready for it.
I think it's ridiculous that it was a draw, but what else did we expect from boxing? Come on, guys.
I couldn't believe he was like perfectly. I mean, I know it was planned. The whole thing was planned. So they're like, it's going to be a draw no matter what. But they were like, Mike Tyson, what do you feel about it being a draw? Do you feel like you won? He's like, yeah. I felt like I won, but you know, it's good. I'm like, oh, that is not Mike Tyson right there.
Yeah. He seemed all sorts of mad.
At that point too, like, there's no, you, they win or lose nothing.
They look like they had a good time though. That was what was important.
Yeah. Like,
we were talking about training was like putting him out for weeks because he's so much older now that when he trains, it was like tiring him out and he couldn't get out of bed for like all day.
He's in better shape than all of us.
I'm about to fight. Well,
he was using those like cryogenic chambers or whatever to like help heal his body right away and shit like that.
It was funny that he asked Roy Jones whether he thought, you know, was Mike Tyson going to, you know, really hurt him. And then Mike Tyson jumps in there and he goes, what about me? I haven't been boxing for 20 years.
Yeah.
Nobody cares
worried about Roy's power.
What about Jake Paul? You want to fight Jake Paul now? Does anyone in Gloria want to, like, take Jake Paul in?
I'll fight him.
That's so ridiculous. All of that's ridiculous. Canelo's like, I'll fight him. It's like, well, of course you will. You'll get paid the same as you always get paid, but you don't have to fight a real fighter. That man's life in 8 seconds.
Man, I want to, well, I mean, it shows what happens when you have money and you get into the fight world, which it's fine. It's cool. People, I mean, he might feel good. That's great. But now you just open up the floodgates to everyone that's in the fight world and they just know exactly where you're at and your technique level. Oh, man. So
it's the most money in the fight game is who has the most like fans watching. So even if you're just outrageous and you say stupid shit, as long as people follow you, you have whatever you want.
He looked like he was training his ass off, though. I mean, he didn't look shitty.
Sure. But the problem with boxing is when people commit their lives to box, to boxing, they have 100 amateur boxing matches before they even go pro.
Right.
So you have a guy who has never done any boxing and he's just now starting to train, and you throw him in a pro match against, you know, and you're paying this guy, and now he can't go back and have an amateur career like everybody else did. So now he gets to move forward and fight people that have had, you know, 120 boxing matches.
And I look at it from two perspectives, because like there's the business side of it, and then there's the fighters who have their hearts into this thing, you know. So I can see both sides. I mean, but you can put him on the card and bring other fighters around him.
Yeah.
And draw the crowds to help those other fights. So it's a give and take.
And if they do that, that's great. I'm about that, because I think boxing needs that. This is Jake Paul, and various reasons are the reason why I don't watch boxing anymore. I watch when Canelo fights, and I watch when Lomachenko fights, and that's pretty much it.
I stopped watching the fight that Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, and I was done.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with the pro fights and amateur, you know, MMA going from amateur to pro, which I thought that you had to have a winning record, which apparently you don't.
No, you don't.
It's bullshit I've ever seen, because these poor kids, I mean, I understand they want to go out there and, you know, some of them just want to make money. It's like, that's fine, but how are you going to spend money when you can't think straight because you just got your ass kicked? And then it honestly doesn't help people like you or people that have earned that pro spot, because now you're just going to fight someone shitty. So when you fight someone good, what's going to happen to you, you know?
Korea, you're as happy as you can pick up at a bar when you're a pro fighter.
What was that?
What?
How many girls you pick up at the bar when you say, I'm now a pro fighter?
The girls are going to be coming out.
Not no pro bars. But, no, not off what you're saying, I think that there's a place for those people, unfortunately, because even your best fighters have to be developed. Like, I saw somebody, I can't remember who it was, but somebody was posting the other day about how, like, you're not a real fighter if you don't take every fight at whatever weight class you're offered. And I'm like, the only people that say that are not good fighters. Excuse for why they have a crappy record. And you have to be developed. Even Khabib is developed. Even the UFC develops people. Like, you have to, it's a learning experience. If you have a losing record because you took whatever fight whenever, then no major promotion is ever going to sign you.
Yeah.
You know? And I think those fighters actually have a place in this world. Like, it's sad. Like, it sucks to be the guy that sucks, you know? but they have a place there, you know? Like, because somebody's got to get beat up for, you know,
for the showbiz part.
World champ someday, you know?
I mean, you can always have a freak show card. That's kind of what it is. It's a spectacle.
We called them tomato cans when I was starting.
One of my teammates' opponents called her that and then got beat up.
Tomato cans and more.
Yeah, I've never heard that before. I was like, what the heck? A tomato can?
So we got a question. Ben Askren versus Jake Paul.
Do what?
Ben Askren versus Jake
Paul. Ben Askren is an actual combat athlete.
Right, like, that's what I'm saying.
He has a couple dozen professional MMA fights. Like, I don't know why that's a question.
Method, though? I'm really curious how he came across Ben Askren for Jake Paul and not
Jake Paul calling him out.
Jake Paul wanted a ball. That's why he had a problem with him, but that was his first fight. And so everyone just literally watched this dude's first fight, which I wanted a brawl in my first fight. And my first fight was a boxing match. I mean, I looked like a shit show, but I won, but I brawled. And that's what I think he was doing too. So Ben Askren.
Yeah, it's silly. Like, sure, Ben Askren doesn't have world-class striking. Well, he does. He is world-class everything because he's a world-class fighter. However, I'm not saying he's the best boxer in the world. Like, he's not on the level of some of the top strikers in the UFC, obviously. But he's still a professional combat athlete.
He punches people's face for a living.
Next, people are going to be like Jake Paul or Batman.
Well, they were already talking about Jake Paul and Conor McGregor. Like, come on, guys. Come on. The best boxers of all time in MMA. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. It's all right. They're ambitious. They're creative. It's interesting to see that. I'm more interested to see more people, though, at least jump in their ring like that, though. So at least he had the balls to get in there and
bring more people to combat sports. I'm all about that. I'm ready to see what happens to combat sports in the next, like, 8 to 10 years with, like, women's wrestling increasing across the country. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a crap load of amazing MMA fighters that are going to come in right when I retire, and I'm so excited to watch them and not have to fight any of them.
They're gonna be little. There's little kids in my MMA class that I teach that destroy my legs. I'm just like, if only I could throw those kicks, and I'm not five. Like, what the hell?
Oh, my God. Gonna be crazy, like a dick.
That's kind of like how I was thinking about when I first learned how what the UFC was, and how even in the amateur, you barely like trained. Like, if you had a jujitsu class under your belt, like, you were ahead of everybody else. Like,
oh, yeah.
It would have been so easy to like skate through things if you like had the opportunity back then.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, MMA is booming, which is, it's cool to see because the sport's going to evolve. Like, it's the way we see, like, the people that were, like, at the top of the game when the game first started existing.
We get their ass kicked.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So much for being logical about this. I've had this argument with so many people. But, like, of course they would. Like, you're telling me that those guys can hang with today's prime, perfect examples of MMA. You know what I'm saying, like.
Even female fighting Gina, the first like main female pro fighter, she would get her ass kicked by all these girls right now.
Yeah, maybe not all of them, but some shallow talent pools in some of the new for like Amanda Nunes, yes.
But there's a lot of badass women fighters now in any of the weight classes, really. Except for there's not many heavyweights.
You mean the Boz?
The Boz. Now we gotta use it.
That makes me think of Kid Rock. So all I had in my head was like, "Ball with the ball, the bang." As soon as you said that, like,
we could start our own video, the ball with the boss.
Oh my God, badass women. In case you didn't catch on to that, we're talking about
babes with the ball. Okay, you're all ball. Like ball with the boss.
Elle's the first one to throw it out there. So, well, Elle, thank you. We kept you like 15 minutes longer than I promised you, but we enjoyed really talking to you. I want to know, is there anyone that you want to give a shout out to? Any sponsors? You want to say anything about where you're going to be going next so people can watch you, your fans, anything? Give it. Go for it.
Definitely, obviously, shout out to Glory. There's some crazy stuff happening over there, so everybody should be checking out all the Glory fighters that are up and coming. My coaches, James, and obviously Grant, who's also my boyfriend, Grant Dawson. Hey, you guys should all just get on the UFC page and just tag him in everything and talk about how much you want to see him fight so that he can get a fight. Because I want to see him fight, and I'm sure you guys do too. Bring him on for sure. He'll be home at some point. shout out to all those guys. Jeff Molina is one of my teammates that's fighting in January. So keep an eye out for him on that UFC card. He's amazing. Like, legit future of the flyweight division. He's one of my main training partners. I want to give a shout out to First Form and Supplement Superstores. They always hook me up with all my supplements and make sure I'm taken care of. They're all amazing. Also follow me on Instagram. It's @LWagman.
Nice. Well, I'm excited to keep watching you. Like I said, I've been watching you since Byers, and you're like, I was watching before I even got into fighting, so I kind of watch your videos. So I can't wait to see where you go. I'm super excited to watch your first win, and I think we're all going to be there for you. So awesome. Thank you so much for being with us and giving us your time, and hopefully you come back on the show again.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Awesome. Yeah, no problem. It's good having you.
Thank you, right. Everyone. Good night.
See you later.
Have a good Wednesday. Peace. All right. Hope you guys have a good night. That was a good show.
It was a good show.
That was our short show.
Definitely.
That was our short show, 45 minutes. Sorry, guys, at home.
you definitely. I was going to say, yeah, I hope to see you in Mississippi.
I'm going to do my best. That's what I was saying. If not, I can try and maybe make it down to Florida. I need a vacation for any reason.
Well, I'm sure Florida would be funner than Mississippi.
But yeah.
Hey, plane tickets are super cheap.
Thanks, Kenny. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt Elle too much to say hi. So she was talking. And she looked so pretty. She had her hair done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's like, I want to make her look nice. I'm like, you're gonna be fine.
I didn't notice.
You can murder all of us. So.
Well, I noticed her hair looked different than her picture we have for the show.
I think she might have been younger in this picture too. I think it's
probably maybe that was it.
But yeah, I've always been really impressed when I first saw her, and so that's why I was like, definitely wanted to get her on there.
Done.
Coming, and that was, it was a really great win. If anyone has not watched her, if they see her pro debut, I recommend watching her and checking out her amateur fights. That's what I think is more impressive than anything. So watching where she came from, because she's always been a really good technical fighter, and I think she's been really impressive since day one, especially like.
She seems to have a really good attitude too.
Yeah. So she's a good girl, and she's out there with some really good people. I wish I was out in Kansas.
I know. It sounds like a really great gym to be a part of, and they just get all these people, and they can refresh themselves and learn new things. And
yeah. Yeah, she was a good guest. Hopefully we'll get her back on for you guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. Yeah. And what's up, Damien? Of course you hop on there and wrestling. He was wrestling a 3-year-old in the bath.
That is my children in the bathroom, and it is an extreme sport in itself.
The only thing worse than a 3-year-old in the bath is a cat, I think. So
my dog takes baths like once a week, but it's not really dangerous until he gets out.
It's not so much as bad to have them in the bath as when you have to rinse their hair. That's a fight.
When you what?
When you have to rinse their hair.
Oh, yeah.
Because they think like the water touching their head, they're dying and it's acid. And then it sounds like to your neighbors that you're just murdering your child in the bathroom. We just hope nobody knocks on your door.
That time was the best time. That was my favorite time. I get to play my tugboat and my floating toys.
But were you getting your hair rinsed? Did you like that?
Well, if I got my hair rinsed, it was in the sink. So we're talking about that way back then. I'm sure kids still do that today. But yeah, nothing tougher than a little girl playing with her tugboat. That's how we're all bred.
Sounds a lot better than a boy playing with his tugboat.
I hate bath to this day. I hate bath now, which is why I don't weight cut. Can't do it.
So you not for weight cutting?
Yeah, I can't. The first time I had to do a weight cut, my boyfriend put me in the bathtub, and it was so hot. And I don't like baths because like I could be in there for like 5 minutes, and I'm like, I'm too hot. But I'm always cold. Every day I sleep with a heat pad in the summertime. Always cold. Bath time, way too intense for me. So when he tried to put me in the bath time, and we tried like conditioning myself to do a weight cut for the first time, or when I actually did my weight cut, he put the bath so hot, like he had to push me in the water. Like I was like doing this, like on the bathtub, because it was so freaking hot. Like it scalded my lady parts.
Like I remember having to take a super hot bath because it threw my back out, and I just had to put some heat on there. So I like boiled myself in the tub so I could sit up.
Baths are painful to me. It's really, really uncomfortable. I don't know what it is. I don't know how people enjoy that shit. I'll Snapchat it too. I'm like, I fucking hate baths as I'm sitting in the bath. I'm just telling you.
I have heard for weight cutting, some people will take like a bath, they put alcohol in the water, and like draws out all their water.
Yeah, that and Epsom salt. It intensifies the heat, which is great. Give it a try yourself. Some people I think are built for baths. Some people, it's really girly. I don't know what the hell is so girly about. Like, all like everyone's like, I got a bathtub. I'm like, my cute little bath. Like, god damn, like that shit's painful. That's not girly.
You're technically, you're supposed to get in the shower, rinse off yourself, and then make a bath, because when you take a bath, you just stew in your own whatever's on your body.
Yeah, and you get in there, you see like little floaties and shit. And like,
ooh, it's like grass.
So it's not the weight cut itself, it's the fact that he's trying to make me do that by baths. And
I know your secret trauma.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how girls do it. They do their nails, they do their hair, do everything, and then the freaking bath bombs. Oh my god. I'd rather just sit in the shower for an hour.
I like the occasional like paper bath that's full of all that stuff in it.
Yeah, it's cool. I admire all you chicks out there. They're all freaking glittery and smell nice and stuff. And I smell awesome because I take showers all day, but you guys are on like a girly level, a totally different girly level than I am. I cannot do it.
For me, though, a bath might be a thing because, like, I work at a place where you have to shower twice a day to go in and out. So a bath is like a nice change in routine.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're
nice bath time talk kind of show.
I like David's comment about his daughter gets mad and calls him by his name.
Are we more random than you guys are in your Thursday night show, Matt? Or is
very,
it
very much more random?
Okay.
That's all right, man. A lot more casual conversation's good.
We should have like a coffee thing with ours.
Did you see my new cup?
Oh Jesus.
Nice.
Hey. Adult
Combat Agency. My buddy Vincent over there. He's one of the owners, and they manage a bunch of fighters. So if you guys are looking for a manager, I can let him know. And then Dringer Nutrition, our new supplement company that's sponsoring us.
We will take sponsors. I'll do a little beanie. Got a little
nice. Yeah, right. I like beanies.
I'll have to see about that.
Or hoodies.
There's like one of the hobo beanies.
It's like the empty sack or like the condom tip.
I didn't want to say it.
That's what I always think when I don't have my like beanie on all the way. I'm like, oh, it looks like the condom that doesn't fit.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Or, your hood.
You ladies might want to watch tomorrow. We got Tyler Goodjohn coming on. He's a pretty good looking boxer from the UK. I mean, I know you're married, right?
Your Thursday show.
What's that?
You keep trying to get us to check out these dudes on your Thursday show. Or the other dude that you're trying to get us on. You're like, hey, he's hot or something. I don't know what you said.
I try to hook the ladies up with some hot guys.
So, well, I'm going to take my merry ass back to the gym. I hope you guys have a great night.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
I just have to go yell at my kids. So.
All right. So. Well, it was a great show, guys.
Good show. Good night.
See you guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect.